I had a wonderful email, or not an email, it was text exchange with my son last night, who's, I get them maybe once every 6 months or once a year. But in that exchange, it was blessed for me because I could see the Lord working on him, even though he would never admit that, because he wants to come back to the family. A blessing for me. And one of the last things he said in his text was, he says, I can see that we're cut from the same cloth. We just see things differently when it comes to religion. And I replied to him, I don't think we see things from a different point of view. I think we see things the very same in this gospel. I told him, I says, my homily is about this very point, about respecting each other, even when we made a mistake, huge mistakes in our lives. See, being our best self is a process. It's not a destination. It's something that we have to work towards over time, making minor improvements or changes in our lives that create a lasting result in the long run. See, our best self isn't an achievement or a quest. It's a way of being kinder, compassionate, respectful, and generous with ourselves first, and then to others, especially when we're challenged. It's about learning from our mistakes, growing through failure, and keeping our eyes open for opportunities, then allowing our fear to hold us fast. See, in the gospel today, Jesus is giving us a large dose of idealism to help us on our way to form our best self. He says, love your enemies, do good those who hate you, turn the other cheek, and if anyone takes your coat, give him your shirt as well. See, the challenge is that all too often we place qualifiers to Jesus' words that limit and even explain away his intent. This includes suggesting that these ideals that he speaks of in today's gospel are impractical and unrealistic, or they can be just simply reduced to a simple rule of conduct for ourselves, and way too often become watered down to the point that we get a watered down version of our best self. It's in our human weaknesses that these qualifiers tend to separate us from them, from the good, from the bad in our eyes, from those that deserve and those that are undeserving. You know, after all, the world tells us that people are supposed to get what they deserve and deserve what they get. Well, David had a chance to dispatch King Saul, thus removing his rival from the kingship. And for Abishai, this is exactly what Saul deserved. But David refuses to do what everyone else might do. Instead, David, in his best self, used this opportunity to teach Saul what the surest foundations of the kingship are: justice and fidelity to God. Therefore, Jesus is offering us these ideals and challenging us to live by them on our pilgrimage of hope to becoming our best self. See, he talks about loving our enemies, and he's not talking about liking our enemies. It's impossible to like everybody, and we really don't have to. Liking is about how we feel, and often we don't have control over how our feelings are coming out. What we do have control over is how we act. See, and love is proven not by our words so much, but by our deeds. Do no evil. even to those who deserve it. When he talks about turning the other cheek, he may not necessarily be meaning literally. See, this describes an ideal, an attitude to break the cycle of violence. Stop looking for revenge on those that hurt you. Know when to let go of your anger. This ideal offers the hope for peace. Tough talk doesn't solve any conflict. It fuels it. Among our family members, among our neighbors, our communities, between nations, and yes, even in ministries. Jesus talks about giving to everyone who asks. And here too, we have to be careful that we may not want to take this too literally. Jesus asks us to have an attitude of generosity that allows us, when possible, translate into action while expecting nothing in return. Consider the generosity. As I was running back and forth to check on things down here at the sanctuary, I saw this wonderful line. It's still there. There's a line at the confessional. Think about God's generosity in the sacrament of reconciliation, where he pours out to anyone who comes to him his mercy and forgiveness. The rule of thumb that I've learned a long time ago is if you have it, share it. He also guides us to stop judging, and you will not be judged. Now, of course, we will judge people, what people do, especially when what they're doing is wrong and hurting others. But while we pass judgment on actions, we resist the temptation to pass judgment on people or souls. Only God can do that. We are to hate the sin and love the sinner. In other words, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. See, forgiveness is an important element of mercy. When we are in a position where we must forgive, we know it can be hard. However, we must also note that the burden of unforgiveness is a very heavy load to carry. Even though forgiveness can be a very hard task, we hope we must forgive, because forgiveness is necessary to free us. It's to free us. And if we try and fail, try again. Practice forgiveness until it becomes a natural part and sign of our best self. St. Faustina reminds us in her diary that Jesus insisted that God is not only merciful to the sinners, but in fact, he is even more merciful to sinners than the just. She writes, "All grace flows from mercy. Even if a person's sin are as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart and then let God do the rest." We are not to judge and condemn. We are to forgive and give. And these dispositions are recommended not to avoid judgment and condemnation of others, but rather identifies the measure in which God will respond to each and every one of us. For the measure for which we judge and condemn others, God will use that same measure on us. And the measure in which we forgive and give is the same measure that God will use on us. In other words, the disciple's best self, when living these ideals, best reflect God's forgiveness and merciful love.